This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Back of the Nest preview show. Sponsored by Pitch Sport. Available to download on the App Store and Google Play. PitchDMM.com.
Welcome one and all to the Back of the Nest preview podcast. And after an extended break, me, Hesketh, and definitely not hungover Albert, are ready to saddle up for the home stretch of the 2021 season. And it starts with stuttering Everton at Goodison Park. This show is sponsored by Manscaped. Head over to manscaped.com and use BOTN at checkout for 20% off and free shipping.
Back of the Nest, sponsored by Pitch Sport. PitchDMM.com.
Yes, after everyone wanted a winter break, and I guess we kind of got a spring break instead, 3 weeks off, and yeah, welcome back, everyone. Hesketh, it's been a delightful day for you. Your house has nearly burned down. Maybe the damp wall would have put it out. Who knows? How are you feeling?
Yeah. I mean, I'm feeling a lot better than I would if my house had burned down. Long story short, I had a broken dishwasher and I called the plumbers in just in time. So I feel good. I'm going to be drunk by the end of the podcast, probably.
Excellent news.
I'm feeling like it's going to be an entertaining one.
Good start. And Albert, you're moaning about being hungover again. How is this possible?
Well, in a bit of foreshadowing for Sam, I had to get a new boiler installed yesterday as an emergency measure. So I got really pissed last night. So just be warned, Hesketh. Sometimes it's not worth it.
We had two people in at the same time on Monday. One was a plumber for the dishwasher and one was checking the boiler, which, touch wood, so far is fine. But no, in my luck, this time next week, I'll be flooded from the top down.
Next week on Back of the Nest Home Improvements. Right, well, let's get straight into the hair of the dog then. You're already on your second beer, Hesketh, so you are going to be anybody's by the end of this. What are you doing?
Yeah, but it's only an Asahi, which is not that strong. Don't think, but I've not had huge amounts of food today and I've been stressed out, so we'll see how it goes. 5.2, that's stronger than I thought.
That's pretty strong. What about you, Albert?
Water for me.
Ah, oh, no hair of the dog?
Absolutely not. I only just stopped shaking about half hour ago.
Well, okay then. Good luck with you on this one, because I've, as we've discovered here, I'm drinking a 12.5% Lorelli barrel aged coconut maple toast imperial porter, brewed with toasted coconut and maple syrup. That's all I can tell you, because the rest of it is written in Swedish. It's from a Swedish brewery called Omnipollo.
Just the thought of that's made me gag a little bit.
Yeah, you can watch me pour it. Oh my god!
For God's sake!
Syrup. That actually looks like the water that was coming out the back of my dishwasher.
Oh my god!
It looks like gravy.
Jeez.
Listen, I'm happy to be the sober one. I'll hold back your hair when you're chucking that up later.
Oh, wow. I mean, it's incredible. It is like drinking syrup, but it is unbelievable.
Please stop.
Oh, I can highly recommend that. Yummy. I mean, you could literally pour that over some waffles and it would taste great. Oh, right. What are we going to start with this week? Let's start with feeling old. Hayden Mullins is now manager of Colchester United. I think I'm looking at both of you, like, you know, looking at the wrinkles around your eyes here. Yeah, we both saw him come through the academy, right? We were there for his debuts. You certainly were, Hesketh.
Yeah, late 90s, wasn't it? When he broke into the team. I really liked him. I thought he was one of my favourite players at the time. And it sort of doesn't surprise me that he became a coach.
Mm.
But yeah, good luck to him. I think it's only to the end of the season. And I also have no idea how they're doing. I'm assuming they're doing shit, otherwise they wouldn't have a new manager. But good luck to him.
Yeah, I assume so. It's sort of sometimes centre mid, sometimes sweeper, wasn't he, Albert, back in the day?
He was everywhere, wasn't he? Including Watford.
Albert loves it.
I'd let it go. I was going to let Watford go.
No, you weren't.
Just as I see that Harry Maguire scored in the background over your head for England.
Oh, I lost my man. Sorry.
But yeah, I was going to let Watford go, and you've bought it up.
You weren't going to let it go. That was before. That might have been before you started drinking your 12% gravy. It would have come out at some point.
Mm.
He was only in charge for what? A couple of games at Watford.
He was in charge against us, wasn't he?
Yeah,
when he was a big caretaker, didn't he?
When Pearson went, wasn't it?
Mm. Yeah, well, I think it must have been. Yeah, it makes about sense. Old
Colchester, bit of a step up.
Indeed. What else has come out today is a fan survey. Now, I'm not sure how much of this you've seen. It's pretty glorious. So I'm reading this off The Athletic. I don't know if it was Athletic driven or if it's come from somewhere else, but the credit goes to Athletic on this one. And six questions pretty much were asked. Happiness with club's performance this season, Albert. What do you think Palace rated out of 100?
So people were asked, yeah, just, are you happy, yes or no?
Yeah.
68%.
It's a bit toppy. That's high. That's way higher than I would have guessed. But 55.86. So we'll say 56% between friends. What absolutely shocks me about this, Hesketh, is this just proves that you can never please everyone. That's for sure. So Man City are running away with the league and only scored 94.3. And West Ham, who are what, fifth? 93. There are still 7% who think they aren't doing a good job. So what?
7% who think they should be in Man City's position in the league.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I said. Like, what are you talking about? But what are you thinking of the 56% for Palace?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's a low bar if you're happy with how we're doing. I'm not in the 56% who think we're doing all right, as anyone who listens to this podcast knows. But the one that got me, and I'm sure you're coming on to it, is the entertaining football question.
Okay, well, we'll get into that one. So next up is, I'm happy if the team's manager is in charge this time next season. I know, because you haven't seen this, Albert, another guess.
People were asked, would they be happy if Roy Hodgson was here next season? I'm going to plump straight down the middle, 50%.
Yeah, exactly right. 49.81. Bang down the middle. Kind of makes sense. I mean, you can... It's easy to get wrapped up in thinking everyone thinks that way, but a lot of people, you do see a lot of people say, well, we're already well clear of relegation. We could end up finishing top half of the table. So yeah, you can see why it could fall on either side. think team has chance of winning a trophy next season. That's ranked lowly down at 32% for Palace. Only Newcastle and Fulham are below us in those ones.
32% think we could win a trophy next season?
Yeah.
You know, they drinking your 12% nonsense.
Well, it's going to be a pre-season tournament with Gullet.
We don't even win those, though, do we? We get spanked by Young Boys in the deciding game or whatever it is.
It's not all bad.
But yeah, Newcastle were bottom of that with 23%. Then there was believe your club is well run. The top of the table, and this is Leicester at 99%, think their club's well run. Unsurprisingly, Newcastle were at the opposite end of the spectrum on 24%, think their club is well run. That's actually higher than I thought would be for them. But 78% for us. Think that's
yes.
Yeah. I kind of feel like that's my actual individual percentage which I'd choose. I'd say I think we're 78% well run, and then there's things like the box office and the main stand being in development for many years and all that sort of stuff. So yeah. Believe we've spent well on transfers in the last 12 months. Again, 64%. Roughly about right. I mean, you can't complain about signings like Eze and things like that, but people would probably want a little bit more.
What was the highest? Who was top of that? Because I can't imagine any club has a, you know, 90%. Yeah, we.
Yeah, so four clubs are in the 90s.
Wow.
Aston Villa, Manchester City, Leicester and Leeds. So, I mean, Leicester have bought some fantastic players in the last few years, haven't they? So,
yeah,
particularly in the last year. Aston Villa went from, you know, relegation fodder to signing a bunch of players and now look like a half-decent unit. I'm not really sure Man City have added in the last time. Who's that? Fernand Torres.
Yeah, they signed that centre-back, didn't they?
Oh, what, Ruben Diaz? Oh, right, okay. Yeah, decent from them. And then Leeds, Leeds have signed like Rafinha and people like that, so they're not doing too badly either. But Burnley at the other end of the spectrum, 35, West Brom 38, Sheffield United 43. So now here's your question, Hesketh. Thinks team your team plays entertaining football, Albert?
Uh, 40%.
Have you got this open?
No.
That's your bang on again, 40%.
Ah.
We're second bottom of that table. Only Newcastle on 21% of their fans.
Really slumming it.
Honestly, though, there are 40% of fans who need looking into. If they're entertained by the football we played this year, then something's gone wrong.
It's quite a subjective question, though, isn't it? You know?
Well,
depends what you deem as entertainment.
I suppose they say if we win, it's entertaining. That's the only thing I can think, because I can count on one hand probably the minutes that I've been entertained this season. So
if it's like, have I been entertained at myself losing my rag on Twitter after terrible performance, maybe.
You know, I enjoy picking the fluff out of my belly button, you know. So watching a game of football, scale it up, you know, that's probably more entertaining.
What to do with the fluff?
Just goes down the back of the sofa or somewhere around there.
Flick it.
if I'm in bed, I just brush it through the wife's hair while she's asleep.
Have you got a hairy belly? Does it get mixed up with some hairs sometimes as well?
There's all sorts, to be honest. Like a deep jean pocket. loose change, bit of lint. All sorts.
Bit of scout leader, Jeff.
I can't. He had, I might have said this before, he had the most prominent outie belly button I've ever seen.
Yeah, we're not going there again.
That's what I said to Jeff.
Oh, dearie me. Right. talking of being outie on international duty, it was tenuous. Goals for Michy Batshuayi, Christian Benteke, Kiarte and Eze. Eze's goal was in vain. Penalty, England
under-21s did not qualify. Cilic conceded in injury time. They won the game 2-1, but Croatia scored, which meant Croatia qualified on goal difference because of their 92nd minute goal. Yeah, brutal. Batshuayi scores his 22nd goal in 33 Belgian games, although they always play him against the postman, don't they? He never really gets in against the big teams. We'll get on to him in a second. A decent goal for Benteke, a volley, albeit against Belarus, but he's finding the net with a bit of frequency now.
Cross the ball, for God's sake. That's what I say every time. Every time we're playing him, and you know, he does well when you put the ball in. So I hope we've studied that one, and he's gone back to the training ground sort of with his Crystal Palace gift bag with a DVD of that goal to show Roy and Ray.
Kiarte scored. Now he's I was kind of furious to see that he even played. He played the full 90 minutes against the team. They'd already qualified. They were playing against a team at bottom of the group. But then he scored a 96th minute equaliser against an African nation I'd never even heard of. Can anyone tell me who it was? Ent Sweeney?
I can. It used to be Swaziland because I Googled it.
Oh, okay. Okay,
but so it's the weird because it's spelt with a small E and then a capital S, I think, is an X letter when I saw it written. So it's like, you know, iPod is small I, capital P. I was like, have they done that on purpose? Is this a branding thing?
they're envisioning it like visit Rwanda on Arsenal's football shirt one day. That's what they're trying. That's what they're aiming towards.
Never seen an Arsenal player in Rwanda. Hypocrites.
I mean, I'm sure they probably have. It reminds me of the Jamie Vardy advert. Have you seen that with the tyre company that they're... Where is it just Visit Thailand on that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've got to look at it. If you've never seen it, it's...
Visit Thailand, but don't go to the casinos.
No, Jamie Vardy's in the middle of, I was going to say Filbert Street there, the King Power Stadium, doing kick-ups. And then, like, this just random Thai guy comes on the video screen above and they start having the most awkward conversation ever. It's brilliant.
Well, does he racially abuse that guy? Or
No, I don't. I think they left the racial slurs out of his script for that one, I reckon. Yeah.
Probably for the best.
Yeah, he wasn't freestyling. but yeah, let's get back to Michy Batshuayi then. So it's funny, we joked about this on the pod, the last pod we did in the West Brom preview, saying that perhaps we'll get some a little bit too honest quotes from some players when they're talking in their own language. And hey, presto, we have done. Michy Batshuayi said, "I get a breath of renewed energy when I come to the national team. The coach, the team, the system are different from that at Palace. With the Red Devils, I feel a lot of trust from the coach. Trust I do not get at Palace." Now, I mean, Hesketh, this isn't surprising, is it? He's clearly not trusted by Roy, and quite mad that he's just come out and said it when there's nowhere left for him to go for the rest of the season. He's stuck with us.
I know. I don't think you're going to win his trust by saying that, Michy. it is a bit weird in that it sounded like Roy wanted him back. You know, we were after Gallagher, and then we sort of switched it to Michy because Roy wanted him in and knew him from his time when he was at Palace before. So you would think, yeah, he does trust him because he's been here before, you know, so he knows what Roy's about and all of that. But yeah, I mean, he's played even less. I think he's played even less minutes than Mateta of late. So he's clearly way down the pecking order with Roy in that respect. And I guess his season, I don't know. I mean, I assume he's going to go to get in the Belgian squad for the Euros, but he's certainly not going to get very many minutes for Palace, I wouldn't have thought.
Yeah, I mean, it's a show that they play one up front and Lukaku's just having a wonderful season. So, yeah, they're only going to play if it's a third round or, like, you know, the third qualifying game in the group stages and they've already qualified and that sort of scenario. But, yeah, he'll definitely go. He'll go. I can't imagine they're going to kick him out of the squad at this point, especially as the flat track bully he is and scoring all those goals against nobodies. I mean... Albert, he's a couple of inches this season away from having a couple of goals, and that could have turned things around for him. Just think it's been an unlucky season for him, or you just still think he hasn't shown enough?
No, again, like you say, he could have had a couple of goals to his name for the lack of a couple of tight offside calls. And as we know, there's no striker at Palace that's, so prolific and laden with quality service to get multiple chances. And, if you have two goals that are rightfully chalked off for offside, it takes a slight adjustment in that, and he'd have had two goals in a short space of time. He might have got a bit more of a run in the team. I think we're now seeing it with Benteke. Benteke's managed to grab a couple and hopefully is on the sort of beginnings of maybe a mild purple patch, which is bad news for Batshuayi and probably Mateta. But yeah, I don't think there's no striker at Palace that you can say, I think their lack of goals is 100% down to their abilities or their effort. I think, we just don't create enough chances for people to rack up those sorts of numbers.
Mm. Indeed. And I mean, he might even fall further down the pecking order now, Hesketh, with the form that Wickham's showing in the under-23s. Did you see that pass?
I did see that pass.
I mean, I think I can describe it as that pass if you've seen it. Unbelievable. Like, just A, pulling it down out of, I mean, he did bully a 16-year-old off the ball, I imagine, to bring it down out of the air. But unbelievable first time volleyed pass in behind, straight into the stride of the winger coming onto it. Yeah, brilliant.
What do you think is more of an impressive feat, that pass or him completing a 90 minutes?
Well, I feel very sorry for him. He's had the best years of his career taken away from him from injury after injury. And I always really rated him. I was happy when he came in. He started before he got his first real injury at Palace. He was really showing really good form. I remember the performance at Anfield when we won 2-1 up there. I think Bolasie and Scott Dan scored. He was unbelievable that night. And I think he could have really had some good years with us if he'd managed to stay fit. But hey, presto, it hasn't happened. But hopefully he can get himself fit and, because he'll be leaving in the summer out of contracts. He definitely won't be getting a new one. So, yeah, well, good luck to him. Hopefully he can get a decent move and, get some football in before his body finally gives up on him, I guess.
Anyway, happy birthday, Connor, 28th day.
Yep. If he does go, there'll be some agent fees involved, that's for sure. And a list has just come out of how much each team paid in agent fees between February of last year and February of this year. You described it as grim, Albert, when you saw this list, of which totals 272.2 million for Premier League clubs.
Quarter of £1 billion going essentially out of the game. That's the bottom line for me. It's a huge chunk of money. And and this is in the COVID year where it was all meant to be, or it's all going to, there's not going to be that many transfers. It's all going to be a bit quiet, and there's still 220 million quid.
272 million.
Going into agents' pockets. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, obviously when you first see that list, you instantly go down to Palace and it's like, fucking hell, 6 million quid, Jesus Christ. But then you actually look and we're one of the sort of the lesser spenders. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, we've spent 6.76 million on agents and only Burnley and West Brom have spent less than us in the last year.
That's because they've had, but Big Sam has only been there for a few months. So.
Well, they got promoted as well, didn't they? So they didn't really. I think if you go back to that fan survey we were talking about earlier, West Brom were really lowly ranked on how they spent their money. I think they've just come up and pretty much banked the money and accepted they're going to go down, which we've talked about, like teams have done it in the past. And then try and have another run at it. I mean, Norwich are in the fits of doing that at the moment. They're absolutely running away with the Championship and they didn't spend anything last season. So, it's kind of an accepted philosophy now that, as I always say all the time, it's so hard to get relegated from the Premier League. If you manage to get yourself in there for a couple of years, it then becomes very, very difficult to go down because we just have such an advantage in terms of how the quality you have in your squad. Chelsea at top of that list at 35 million. Then the two Manchesters on pretty much both on 30 million. Crazy amounts of money. Crazy.
Simon Jordan wouldn't have had it, would he, Albert?
Absolutely not. One of his more noble campaigns.
Indeed. Right. I think we're obliged to say it's ad time now. I think I have to say this. So it's ad time. Back in the Nest is sponsored by Manscaped, the global leaders in men below the waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineering tools for your family jewels and is now available in USA, Canada, the UK, Australia, New Zealand, and the EU. Weep. We have an exclusive offer for our audience. Use code BOTN to get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Join the movement and the other 2 million men now who trust Manscaped. Now, this is Manscaped, a company doing a drive on testicular cancer. So did you know that one guy every hour, every day is diagnosed with testicular cancer? So this is a reminder to all of the men listening to check yourself before you wreck yourself. Manscaped, in addition to providing the right tools and solutions for a safe and easy manscaping, has partnered with Testicular Cancer Society to spread awareness for men's health and early cancer detection. Together, TCS and Manscaped are committed to raising awareness for the most common form of cancer in men aged 15 to 35. I mean, that counts us out, lads, so we're past it. And giving support for fighters, survivors, and families impacted by testicular cancer as part of their We Save Balls initiative. While you're down there cleaning up your sack, why not go ahead and give them a little investigation for lumps, changes in size, or any pain? I think we can all agree it's pretty fun playing with your balls anyway. Manscaped recommends you check yourself once a month. If you do feel any lumps or swelling, give your doctor a call. In addition to checking yourself regularly, you want to make sure your sack is looking fresh and clean with Manscaped's Perfect Package 3.0. Inside the Perfect Package, you'll find their electric trimmer called the Lawnmower 3.0. The waterproof trimmer features skin-safe technology to reduce cuts of the sack. All liquid formulations use only the best ingredients. Some of these liquid tools include the Crop Preserver and its anti-chafing deodorant for your balls, the Crop Reviver, a spray-on ball toner refresher. The Perfect Package 3.0 also includes anti-chafing performance boxers that keep your package cool and feeling fresh. Those boxers are the GOAT boxers, especially if you're going out on a long walk, lads. Can't recommend them enough. Join the Manscaped movement and start taking care of your balls today. Get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com when using the code BOTN. Always use the right tools for the job. Right, thanks for sticking that out with us. Good calls there. Make sure you check your balls. This is really important. And yeah, as it says, who doesn't enjoy playing with their balls? Albert just chuckling on mute there.
There's nothing. Do put in BOTN in the shop, and what Terence didn't say is that when you use that code, Hesketh comes around and does it for you.
We've all got to make money somehow in the pandemic, haven't we?
Back of the Nest, sponsored by Pitch Sport. Fun time videos, choose your match day squad, post match ratings, and much more. Available to download on the App Store and Google Play. PitchDMM.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I mean, we're playing Everton on Monday night at 6 p.m. for those who didn't know. I'm actually going to watch this with another Palace fan in the garden.
What?
I know. And I'm not breaking any rules. It's going to be, I can't believe it.
6 o'clock.
Yeah, 6 o'clock on Monday.
You've got kids. Well, kid, you can't be going out at 6 o'clock to watch football.
Oh, she'll be in bed by 7 and sleeps for 12 hours. It's fine.
Right. So you'll be around your mate's house for the second half then, won't you?
No.
Livid.
Literally, as I've said many times, this pandemic has saved me so many arguments with the missus. It's been the most timely thing. I mean, I shouldn't joke about it, but...
She's won now. You're on your own. I'm off out.
Yeah. I gave you a whole year of no going out on Saturdays to football. I don't know what we're going to talk about, to be honest. We don't know who's fit. People aren't even back from international duty yet, and it's so far away still as we record on Wednesday night here. Whenever I think Everton, no, Heskey, I think we do all right against them, and then we haven't beat them in 12 games.
Say we used to.
No, the last time we beat them was that second one of the consecutive 3-2s.
I remember going to a 3-2, the one where Yala scored, and we went with my wife and her friend, both of whom are American, and obviously they had Tim Howard in goal. So she was like, "Look, I just really like Tim Howard," and I was like, "I don't care. You're Sporting Palace. I don't care. You can like Tim Howard after the game. You're not allowed to like him. Stop it." And she was like, "Yeah, but Tim Howard is like really famous." I was like, "Don't care." Like the whole journey. It took us like 7 hours to get up there because it was like nightmare traffic. She was talking about Tim Howard. And then Yala scored and we all went mental. And she screamed, "Fuck you, Tim Howard." And I was like, "Shit, I'm sorry, sorry, sorry." Well, that's fine. You're one of us. And then it was 7 hours back because there was a crash on the motorway. So I'm glad we won because that was a good like 13, 14 hour round trip.
Jeez. I mean, the trains, people, get on trains. You driving lunatics.
Well, it was miserable Dave who was driving and he definitely lived up to his name that day.
I bet he did. Just all you lot pissed and then asleep basically halfway through the journey.
Yeah, I mean, I don't drive, so I'm a massive freeloader. So I'm always fine.
Outrageous. Yeah. Yeah, I've been thinking about having to learn how to drive. Me and my friend Nick have been talking about how we get the kids to games, and doing it on the trains might be a bit of a nightmare. So,
you're taking the kids to the game now?
When she gets to, I don't know, 7 or 8, I imagine, yeah. But Nick, in the meantime, Nick's kid is like 5 or 6 now. So
you'll need take it from me. You'll need snacks.
Oh, I need snacks.
No.
I've got a 6-pack of snacks, mate.
Arthur only comes to the football for the grub. He knows he's getting a bag of Maltesers at half time. He knows there might be a cup of chips or nuggets if they haven't sold out again. He's all about the snacks.
Has he gone Tasty Jerk?
No, not yet. Not yet. And I kind of resent him because when I take him, it means I can't go to the Tasty Jerk. Livid.
Yeah.
Well, you can't just go to the Tasty Jerk and mate him, just wait.
No, it doesn't feel right. You know, you have to, you know, I'm not gonna be like, there's a crap Palace burger for you. I'm tucking into some prime chicken and rice. it's not the way I'm raising my kids.
I was more thinking you might be worried that you just get like smokes out of the shop, and
there really, is that as well, yeah.
Bad for his little lungs.
Attacked by a cockroach.
Cockroaches ain't all bad, they're not dirty cockroaches, it's fine.
Absolutely,
don't worry about it.
It's extra texture.
Yeah, if you like a bagel in Brick Lane, full of cockroaches, you'll see them all the time.
So, yeah,
don't mean to ruin it for you. Talking about ruining food, going off on massive tangents here. Has any, if either of you watched Seaspiracy yet on Netflix?
Nope.
Do you like eating fish?
Once or twice a week.
Sure.
Yeah, don't watch it then, because you will no longer want to eat fish after it. And I would never have believed that if you'd have said it to me before I watched it. But if you
why? What are they doing? What are these fish doing?
Well, it's what we're doing. Basically, the sea is key to us surviving as a human race. And basically, the fishing industry is basically on the brink of Armageddon, of basically killing the sea. Got about 25, 30 years left. And then the sea starts to die, and then it turns out the sea is a massive sink for carbon. So if the sea don't suck up all the carbon, then we're off ski. So Pat, as I tweeted the other day, Palace have got 25 years to win a trophy before we've got no more chances.
We can't finish with just the ZDS Cup.
3-0 Everton on that note.
Oh, well, in that last 3-2, Romelu Lukaku and Leighton Baines scored the goals for them. Like you said Blassie got the winner. Can you remember who got the other two?
Fraser Campbell.
Correct.
Ooh. Punch?
Nah, that was Punch was in the previous 3-2.
Yeah,
Jedinak, yeah, he got a penalty.
Yeah, that's right.
No, it was Howard who made a ridiculous challenge.
That's right. I'll take
you
it.
Still,
that was a good day
you
out,
still
that
wound up. He was all wound up from the abuse.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, then. While we're on it, can you name the lineup? Do you reckon you got the lineup in you
for that game?
For that game, starting lineup.
Probably not. Joel Ward.
I mean,
that's a given.
That's a given. You got a given in goal. Come on, that's easy. You don't need to worry about those ones.
Hennessy.
No, this is in 2014.
I know.
that nightmare hadn't started yet.
Oh, can you remember those days?
But my
Sprony in goal, Joe Ward, Scott Dan.
You sounded so confident. And then it was
Scott Dan, Damien Delaney.
Yeah.
We said Jedinak. We've said
Jimmy
Campbell did.
MacArthur would have played, wouldn't he?
Yeah, MacArthur. Bonus points if you can tell me who replaced him later in the game. If either of you get it, I'm calling it. You're reading it off your screen. So
Jordan Much.
Who else played in that? Ledley.
Ledley was not playing. He's probably in. Oh no, he was playing. There you go. Sorry, he was playing. Yeah. So that was McJedley, the famous McJedley.
Yala played obviously because he scored.
Yeah, he did.
Wilf.
No, Wilf wasn't there that season, was he? Was he back that season?
He was.
Unused substitute.
What?
Who else even played at that time? That was...
left back. I'm struggling for a left back.
Zeki Friars.
I'm so hungover.
Zeki Friars did come on in that game. He replaced...
What?
He replaced Bolasie.
Oh. Sit down, Wilf. We're sending on Zeki.
Imagine the thought process there. Sorry, Wilf, you're not that good. Zeki, come on.
Yeah, we was probably trying to hold on to the 3 points, to be honest. So, you've already mentioned Jason Puncheon from the previous game. So he was the other one. And obviously Campbell you got as a goal scorer who was replaced there. That it again. I mean, the three. If you could have named me the three substitutes that came on, I would. Yeah, I would have given you any piece of Palace memorabilia I have. To be honest, three Zeki Friars, MacArthur was placed by Adleni Gwediora.
Oh
my I like God!
And Fraser Campbell was replaced by Kevin Doyle.
And we won the game.
We won the game.
Kevin Doyle and Zeki Friars, and we won the game.
Literally, as I'm looking at the lineup, across from Kevin Doyle on the other side of the team sheet is Samuel Eto'o. We won the game. Yeah, brilliant.
So who was the left back?
Oh, so Martin Kelly.
Policeman Kelly.
So we must have had an injury to.
What a lineup to win away in the Premier League.
Indeed. Against a really good Everton team there. Yeah, really decent team. Although most of them are like pundits now on TV. They were pretty old, I guess. Phil Jagielka's still playing. John Stones. Yeah. There you go. Right, you can tell I was struggling to find things to talk about here. But no, we'll do our favourites, the strengths and weaknesses. They've got some weaknesses that actually stack up to us here. they're bad at defending against attacks down the flanks. However, unfortunately, they are good at scoring from set pieces. But do you think, again, like it's trimming down? We've got another game against a dangerous team who like to throw the ball in the box a lot in West Brom and get as many set pieces as possible. We defended them pretty well in that last game, didn't we, Hesketh?
I can't even remember. we didn't let a goal in.
Just say yes. Positive. Just say yes.
Once. 84 years ago. It does kind of weirdly feel like that. It's the most bizarre break in a season. It feels more bizarre than lockdown one, which actually postponed the season for quite a while, because at least that was like a bit of a novelty and whatever, and you understood what was going on. But with this, it's just kind of like, we played three games in 6 days and then we don't play for 3 weeks.
It's weird that it's like non-stop football, like non-stop Palace even. And then we get to the point where like Albert texts us and says, oh, we're doing a pod. And we're like, oh, shit, we probably better.
It reminds me
I only said that because I thought we had another week off. I was just double checking. And it was like, yeah, we are. I was like, oh, what?
Well, it's still because when it got moved to the Monday, I was like, this is really taking a piss now. It's just really stretching it out. But
Monday at 6, I mean, that's a joke.
Yeah. I mean, in normal times, it would have absolutely been a joke. I would have been in the office and we just had a half day and popped over from Edgware Road to Euston and jumped on a train up to Liverpool. Would have been a great time. Would have booked the next day off as well. Stayed overnight. Ended up in like a bar called Mojo with Joey Barton. That's happened up there before.
Brilliant.
Oh dear.
Yeah, well, not anymore. He's managing at Bristol Rovers, and a couple of my good friends are Bristol Rovers fans. My best man from my wedding is a Bristol Rovers fan. He's a Bristol Rovers fan. And
has he tried to do the Bristolian accent like he did with the French one?
So my Bristol Rovers mates hadn't seen that interview. So when I showed it to them, they were just like, we really hope he does this with a Bristolian accent, but apparently not required. still the Je m'appelle Jamie. J'adore.
I want to hear Joey Barton use Gert Lush in a post-match interview.
Yeah. That pressing was Gert Lush.
Yeah.
Hesketh, resident Frenchman and authority on all things French. Yeah. What did you think of Joey Barton's accent in that interview that time?
Yeah, not the best. But when I talk French with this accent, and it's like the ugliest thing you've ever heard.
Do the French have a word for Streatamish French?
They just call me quack. Look.
To be fair, that's what everyone calls you.
Yeah, it's universal language.
Oh, we did so well. We almost made it. We almost made it to the end. Sorry, who's ever producing this? So they're poor at defending down the flanks, which is obviously good for us, and kind of an age-old Everton problem, which they got rid of for a couple of years, but seems to be creeping back in for them now. We're pushing their fullbacks on a bit too much. And of course, I would have said previously, with our style of play, it does sort of suit us, but it depends. You never know what Roy's going to pull out the old rabbit, pull out the old hat, pull out the old rabbit, pull out the rabbit.
Pull out anything he's ever done.
Pull out the rabbit. If you can say it, he'll do it.
So who knows? If we play some wingers, maybe we can take advantage of that. It's impossible. There's been no one's talked about anything about who might be fit, who might be injured. It looks like our players have come through unscathed. So with players coming back as well, it looks like he should pretty much have the best part of the squad to pick from. I guess we'll just have to wait and see what pops up. But we might as well have a loose prediction. Hesketh, go. What do you reckon?
2-0 to Everton.
I mean, they are on the back of 3 consecutive defeats, so...
Sorry, 3-0 to Everton.
They lost 2-0 to Man City, 2-0 to Chelsea, and sandwiched a 2-1 loss to Burnley at home. So, Albert, does that buoy you?
I mean, I'd already said 3-0 slightly earlier in the pod.
You can have 3, I'll take 2.
Yeah, no, 3-1. Benteke.
That would be an exact repeat of the last trip to Goodison, which I think I watched in Box Park, because that was a 12:30 kickoff or something, wasn't it? Benteke's shot sneaked under Pickford, but with the form Pickford's been in this season, you've got to test him, particularly from range. He's struggling a bit there, but shoot on sight probably won't be our philosophy. It'll be try to pass it in. So we've got a 3-0 and a 2-0, a 3-1 and a 2-0. Oh, 1-0 Everton. Yeah, maybe 2-0. I'll take 1-0 as it hasn't been taken yet. Right, so if this game's Monday, I imagine, unless we spank them, I can imagine that we're going to end up doing a joint preview review next week of this game.
Joy of joys.
So prepare yourself for that. And then next weekend we play Chelsea. So normal preview for that. Is Chelsea at Selhurst, if that makes a difference. I don't know. They've found some form. I mean, that game's got 1-0 Chelsea written all over it based on what's been going on there. But we'll get into that next week. So look out for the show next week, where I'm sure we can probably get Hambo involved with us as well, as we talk about the inevitable defeat to Everton and the upcoming defeat to Chelsea. Yay! Welcome back, everybody. Right, until next week, up the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.